We'll see how the Philistines responded to the hand of God upon them, and then how Israel again received the ark. And this will cover through chapter 7. So, George, I see that hand waving frantically. So if you would read let me see where I'm at here. Read 1 through 6, and then if I could have someone read 7 through 12. 7 through 12, 7 through 12, going once, going twice.
Hello.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm actually frantically waving my hand.
I know, I wanted to see if you would.
I withdraw.
Go ahead, George.
The Philistines took the Ark of God and brought it from Ebenezer to Ashdod. When the Philistines took the Ark of God, they brought it into the house of Dagon and set it by Dagon. And when they of Ashdod arose early on the morrow, behold, Dagon was fallen upon his face to the earth before the Ark of the Lord, and they took Dagon and set him in his place again. And when they rose early on the morrow morning, behold, Dagon was fallen upon his face to the ground before the Ark of the Lord, and the head of Dagon and both palms of his hands were cut off upon the threshold. Only the stump of Dagon was left in him. Therefore, neither the priests of Dagon nor any that come into Dagon's house tread on the threshold of Dagon in Ashdod unto this day. But the hand of the Lord was heavy upon them from Ashdod, and he destroyed them and smote them with emerods, even Ashdod and the coast thereof.
And when the men of Ashdod saw that it was so, they said, "The ark of the God of Israel shall not abide with us, for his hand is sore upon us and upon Dagon our God." They sent therefore and gathered all the lords of the Philistines unto them and said, "What shall we do with the ark of the God of Israel?" And they answered, "Let the ark of the God of Israel be carried about unto Gath." They carried the ark of the God of Israel about thither. And it was so that after they had carried it about, the hand of the Lord was against the city with a very great destruction. And he smote the men of the city, both small and great, and they had emerods in their secret parts. Therefore they sent the ark of God to Ekron. And it came to pass, as the ark of God came to Ekron, that the Ekronites cried out, saying, "They have brought about the ark of God of Israel to us, to slay us and our people." So they sent and gathered together all the lords of the Philistines and said, "Send away the ark of the God of Israel, and let it go again to his own place, that it slay us not and our people." For there was a deadly destruction throughout all the city. The hand of God was very heavy there. And the men that died not were smitten with the emerods, and the cry of the city went up to heaven.
All right, thank you both. All right, so the ark was first placed in the temple of Dagon. Dagon was considered the chief god of the Philistines, the leader of their gods. Dagon's father was Baal. Baal. So they took the ark and they brought it into the house of Dagon and set it by Dagon. Some say Dagon was the fish god. He was represented by kind of a weird figure. The lower body was a fish and the upper body was a man. Kind of a strange looking creature. Well, they set it next to Dagon to show that Dagon was certainly stronger and greater than Jehovah. I got a feeling that that was probably a mistake because the ark, of course, represented Jehovah God, Yahweh. Well, at first they were afraid when they had heard that Israel had the ark in the camp. Remember back in chapter 4, verses 6 through 8, when the Philistines heard the noise of the shout, they said, "What meaneth the noise of this great shout in the camp of the Hebrews?" And they understood that the ark of the Lord had come into the camp. The Philistines were afraid, for they said, "God has come into the camp." And they said, "Woe unto us, for there hath not been such a thing heretofore. Woe unto us, who shall deliver us out of the hand of these mighty gods?" These are the gods that smote the Egyptians with all the plagues in the wilderness. But now, at this time, they're mocking God, almost daring God to do something about the ark being placed next to Dagon. Some say that Baal, of course, was considered the storm god. Some say the god of the rain. And of course, Israel in her history had a lot of trouble with worship of Baal. They oftentimes got sidetracked and began to worship him. But God showed his power and his supremacy. In verse number 3, early the next day, Dagon was on the ground with his face pointing toward the ark in humility. That'd be quite humiliating to the Philistines, wouldn't it? They go out and go into the little temple there and wanted to see what Dagon had done to the ark, and they find Dagon laying on his face before the ark. So far, he doesn't seem to be very superior, does he? And then we find in verse number 4, God's second display of authority. The next day they came out and looked, and Dagon was again fallen upon his face to the Lord, to the ark of the Lord, and the head and both of the hands were cut off, and they were placed upon the threshold in the entrance to the temple. So you got a stump laying there. It is, come on, it's funny. I mean, God does indeed have a sense of humor, does he not? So again, their God was humiliated, and now the worshipers would be punished. They captured the ark, foolishly thinking that their God was superior, thereby mocking Yahweh. And so God said, well, I'll show you something here. And in verse number 5, therefore neither the priests of Dagon nor any that come into Dagon's house tread on the threshold of Dagon in Ashdod unto this day. They figured it was cursed. You got the head of Dagon and his two hands on the threshold, you're liable to kind of avoid it. Verse number 6, the hand of the Lord was heavy. Some translations have glorious upon them of Ashdod, and he destroyed them and smote them with emrods. Now, I was always taught they were hemorrhoids. But I don't think they were hemorrhoids. And the reason I say that is because if they were hemorrhoids, why would the Philistines have made golden images of mice? Because as we're going to see, mice or rats and or rats overran the land. It was a plague by the Lord. Destroyed the land, and mice and rats carry disease, do they not? And let me see, I wrote down what it was. Bubonic plague. If you get the bubonic plague, you have painful tumors. And so again, if it was hemorrhoids, what would be the significance of the mice or rat? Why would they make a golden image of a mouse or a rat? Let's look at this together. So again, Dagon was helpless against the power of Yahweh, who actively judged them, and they ended up with these sores or boils. And when the men of Ashdod, verse 7, saw that it was so, they said, the ark of the God of Israel shall not abide with us, for his hand is sore upon us and upon Dagon, our God. But yet they would do everything they could in the coming months to demonstrate that it was just a coincidence. It wasn't God. Here they said it was God, but they got to thinking about how disgraced they were. And so they had a couple of plans to show that it wasn't God. So they gathered together all the lords of the Philistines, or the kings of the five cities, the five major cities, and said, what shall we do with the ark of the God of Israel? And they answered, let the ark of the God of Israel be carried about unto Gath. So they went 12 miles east to Gath, and they brought the ark and put it there. And so that after they had carried it about, verse 9, the hand of the Lord was against the city with a very great destruction. Many translations have for the word destruction confusion. Obviously, if suddenly there are a bunch of people getting boils or getting sores, they tumors. They will wonder what in the world is going on. So there was a destruction. There was confusion went along with it. And he smote the men of the city, both small or young and old. And they had emrods in their secret parts. Double ouch on that, right? Therefore, they said, well, we got to get the ark out of here. They sent the ark of God to Ekron, which was the closest major city next to Israel's border, about 6 miles north of Gath. So they keep moving it. Yes, sir. Yes. Yeah.
Side note. I know the Israelites could not touch the ark. You know, they had to use poles and everything.
Right.
Did they move the ark in the same manner, or did they just pick it up? Would they not have died also? As soon as they
not if God didn't
so
want them to die.
Them differently.
Yeah, that was a law of Moses. That was insignificant to the Philistines. What do they care? You know? But the Bible doesn't really say how they handled it. But I doubt if they got poles and used the staves, you know? But good point. You're on the ball this morning. You must have sniffed a lot of donut grease last night when you were frying.
Every night.
Every night. All right, so they sent the ark to Ekron. And the idea was, again, they were trying to figure out, was this really from God or was it just a coincidence? Therefore, they sent it to Ekron. It came to pass, the ark of God came into Ekron, that the Ekronites cried out, saying, they have brought about the ark of the God of Israel to us to slay us and our people, which would signify to me that it got even worse. And when they cried out and made that statement, it kind of seemed like they were admitting that God was behind this. But we're not finished yet. So then they sent and gathered together all the lords of the kings of the Philistines and said, send away the ark of God of Israel. Let it go again to his own place, that it slay us not and our people. For there was a deadly destruction again or confusion throughout all the city. The hand of God was very heavy there. And the men that died not were... And the men that died not were smitten with the emrods, and the cry of the city went up to heaven. Which leads us then to chapter 6. And so I need a couple of volunteers to read. Somebody read the first 6 and then the next 5. 1 through 6 and then 7 through 11. Who wants to read 1 through 6? Billy, you want to read it?
Sure.
Gary, you want to take 7 through 11, okay? Go ahead, Bill.
Now the ark of the Lord was in the country of the Philistines 7 months. And the Philistines called for the priests and the diviners, saying, what shall we do with the ark of the Lord? Tell us how we should send it to its place. So they said, if you send away the ark of the God of Israel, do not send it empty, but by all means return it to him with a trespass offering. Then you will be healed, and it will be known to you why his hand is not removed from you. Then they said, what is the trespass offering which we shall return to him? They answered, 5 golden tumors and 5 golden rats, according to the number of the lords of the Philistines. For the same plague was on all of you and on your lords. Therefore, you shall make images of your tumors and images of your rats that ravage the land, and you shall give glory to the God of Israel. Perhaps he will lighten his hand from you, from your gods, and from your land. Why then do you harden your hearts as the Egyptians and Pharaoh hardened their hearts? When he did mighty things among them, did they not let the people go that they might depart?
Now therefore, make a new cart and take 2 mulched kine on which there hath come no yoke, and tie the kine to the cart and bring their calves home from them. And take the ark of the Lord and lay it upon the cart and put the jewels of God, which you return him for his trespass, and a coffin by the side thereof, and send it away that he may go, and see if it goeth up by the way of his own coast to Beth Shemesh, then he hath done this great evil. But if not, then we shall know that it is not his hand that smote us. It was a chance that happened to us. And the men did so, and took two mulch kine, and tied them to the cart, and shed up their calves at home. And they said, the ark of the Lord upon the cart, and the copper, and the mice of gold, and the images of their emeralds.
All right, thank you both. Kind of reminds me of a song. Five golden emeralds. I don't think that's how it goes, though, is it? No, that's not it. All right, so the lords, the kings of the Philistines had to try to figure out a way to get rid of the ark without more humiliation or bringing more judgment of God. If you're keeping an outline, by the way, A would be the faithful word of God, chapter 4, verses 1 through 22, the faithful word of God. Then here today, B, the frightening work of God. I made that up all by myself. The frightening work of God, chapter 5, verses 1 through 12. And then C, the final wisdom of God. The final wisdom of God, chapter 6, verses 1 through 18. So again, they sought the advice of the priests and the diviners or diviners, the ones that predicted the future, suggested sending the ark back with a trespass, which was a guilt offering. Five golden tumors, five golden mice. These were basically gifts of appeasement to try to appease God. If they would end up healed, they would know it was Yahweh. By this they reasoned they would give glory to Israel's God, and maybe the judgment would stop. And as was read in verse number 6, they were encouraged not to harden their hearts like the Egyptians and Pharaoh did. When he wrought wonderfully, some translations have, when he had abused them, did they not let the people go, and they departed. All right, so go back with me to verse number 2. They knew in verse 2 that they had offended God. Then in verse 3, they sought to appease God's wrath, acknowledging and compensating for their trespass. It was their custom to make models of their sores and the mice, which brought the plague. And they hoped God would see that they knew why he was angry and remove the evil. Verse 5, they were told to stop the dishonoring of God, confess their sin, give glory to Israel's God by acknowledging who it was they had offended, and to acknowledge that Jehovah God was indeed the supreme deity. Then again, verse 6, don't harden your hearts. And then they came up with a wonderful plan. Still, though they're saying things with their mouth, we think God is doing this, or God has sent this plague. Then out of the other side of their mouth, they say, well, let's see, maybe not. So they came up with this plan starting in verse 7. Let's make a new cart. And take two milch kine. Those were cows, milk cows, who had just given birth not long before. They had young calves. And they could also be used, of course, for milk for those that had the cows. If you take away a calf from a milking cow, that doesn't bode well, does it? The cow is going to do everything it can to get back to the calves so the calves can nurse. And so they figured, well, you know, if this goes the way we think it's going to go, then it was just a coincidence. I mean, if God is God, if he's the one that allowed all this stuff to happen, if he sent the plague, well, then God can certainly guide these two cows and take the ark back to Israel. They figured not going to happen. Also, does a cow have to be trained to pull a cart? You don't just take a couple cows out of the pasture and hook up a harness and, okay, pull this cart. How's that going to work out? Yeah, it's not going to work too good, is it? Well, let's see what happens. So they took these two untrained cows away from their calves. And verse 8, they said, take the ark of the Lord, lay it upon the cart, put the jewels of gold, which he returned him for a trespass or a guilt offering, in a coffer, which would be a box, by the side thereof, and send it away that it may go, and see if it goeth up by the way of his own coast or territory to Beth Shemesh. Beth Shemesh is literally means the house of the sun. This was a Levitical city about 15 miles west of Jerusalem. So it was a city of priests and those that served the priests, Levites. Then he hath done us this great evil, but if not, then we shall know that it is not his hand that smote us. It was a chance that happened to us. And so the men did so. They took two milch cows, kine, tied them to the cart, shut up their calves at home. And so far it looks like God's in this, because they would have immediately went back home, and they were sending them the opposite direction. They laid the ark of the Lord upon the cart, and the box with the mice of gold and the images of their emrods. And I'm going to stop there. Questions or comments? We'll find out what happens when we look at the rest of the story, which I'm sure you're going to read in advance if you have not already. And we'll see how God deals with the situation. Thank you, sir. I love these Old Testament stories, don't you? Lord, he's so awesome. Continue to pray for the church. Pray that God will give the increase. We are now already through the first month of the new year. Can you believe that? Well into the second month. Today is the 9th of September. The 9th of February. I can't believe how fast time goes. I mentioned to Fred, pray for the West Virginia Convention of Southern Baptists. Eric Ramsey, who's been the president, or I don't know if you call him the president, I forget what you call him. He was the leader, the treasurer, and the leader of the fellowship, is going to move. He's resigning his position and moving back. I don't know exactly where. His mother is up in years, needing a lot of care, so she's going to move in with him and his wife. And so there's a need for a new leader in the statewide fellowship. So pray, if you would, about that, that God would send the right man. Eric was a really good man. I liked him a lot. So pray that God will send somebody just as good, or if not better than him. Pray for our nation. A lot of things going on. I mean, super speed. The far left radicals are freaking out, absolutely going ballistic and doing all kinds of stupid stuff. And pray the American people remain patient. You don't undo 4 years of absolute disaster in a month. It'll be 3 weeks tomorrow. So polls are already starting to go down a little bit for Trump, which I don't understand. The man's working like an animal. He's done more in 3 weeks than most presidents do in the first year or more. So just pray God will give him wisdom. God will protect him and the vice president and their families and the leaders, that these the Democrats will stop blocking everything. They just love to cause havoc. And we can get the cabinet finished up. Pray for law enforcement, safety for them and first responders, Israel and Ukraine. I thought by now the president would have Ukraine. He kind of made a campaign pledge that he would end that war before January 20th. he's in contact with Putin, and Putin does want this thing to end. So pray that that'll be the case. I listened to a couple of interviews with Bibi Netanyahu, and he's kind of excited like a school child that Trump is the president. They get along really well. And look, it's looking really good that things are going to wind down there. There's still more work to do, but he's not going to back down. He's going to finish the job. He's not going to let it be like an example that Netanyahu used. He was interviewed. I forget now who it was. Oh, it was Mark Levin interviewed him. And basically, he said it'd be like in World War II if we went into Germany and we decided, we're not gonna attack Berlin. It'd be all right. They had to finish the job, right? And so it is with Hamas. They got to finish the job. So pray that that'll happen quickly. Pray for the hurricane and fire victims, that God would meet the need there. They turn to him during these difficult days. Pray for our missionaries that are preaching the word. George's mom, Stacy, had a little setback. Well, it's a big setback. They didn't get all the cancer, so they got to go back in. Is it the 20th? She has to have surgery again on February the 20th. So pray that they'll get it all this time. Annandale, surgery on March 20th. Tammy Riggleman needs a kidney. Bill is still having issues with the kidneys and blood pressure. Darlene, Gary's sister, with leukemia. Almost every day she's got to go and have something done. So what day was that you said they're going to, another month or so? Is that what you said? Or later this month? That they're going to meet with her and figure out what they're going to do? The platelets?
Do another bone biopsy. Maybe to see if there's new cells there, if it's helping any.
But she's getting blood and she's getting platelets, and
those shots are expensive.
I can't even imagine.
Yeah.
So pray for Darlene if you would. She's down in Florida. Pray also, she's going to see if the doctor might let her come up one last time, come up home. You said in March, right? Mm-hmm. So pray that if that be the will of God, that she'd have the strength to be able to do that, okay? Pray for Mark and his health, Rhonda for strength, pray for Rhonda's mother, pray for Ronnie, Gary and Kathy's niece, Regina, David and Yvonne's daughter, Rebecca. Mary is not doing well at all. She can only walk, 8 or 10 feet, and she has to stop. She's going tomorrow to the heart doctor, so pray if you would, please, for Mary. She's having a real tough time. Pray for Leonard. Got to give him strength. Leonard brought that rug to catch some of the dirt, salt and stuff as we come in the door, so thank you, Leonard, for bringing that. It's a heavy-duty thing. I think it weighs about 20 pounds. So thank you so much for that, Leonard. Marie Baker used to be a member here. She moved in with her daughter in Maryland, but she had a fall and broke some ribs, so pray for Marie. Pray for Riley. She injured her shoulder, and I didn't see that you'd wrote it down, so I wrote it down, so it's on there twice, so double the prayers are coming, okay? Annandale has a praise. All right, Annandale, what's the praise? Mm-hmm.
And this past Thursday, if you all recall, I'm pretty sure it was Thursday, we had that bad fog. And we didn't realize it was getting that bad outside. We just kept on playing. When we left, I barely could see maybe two chairs in front of me.
Oh, wow.
So I prayed, and I didn't get too far down the driveway of the friend's house.
And I called her. I said, I can't see. So she prayed too. And got out on 9. I wound up putting on my flasher because I could not see. And thank God there was those yellow signs, you know, saying you're coming up on a curve, because I couldn't tell.
Oh, wow.
They weren't there. But I turned on Sports Crossroads then, and it's really bad. I was going there at 10 the whole way, 10. And I just seen a car come up behind me. I thought, oh, my gosh. So I pulled over as hard as I can and prayed that I didn't get in a ditch, because I couldn't see a ditch. So anyways, this older man pulled up in a truck behind me, rolled down his window, rolled him out, and he said, are you okay? I said, yeah. I said, I can't see the road. And he said, would it help you if you followed my taillights? I said, yes. And he says, where are you going? I said, Mount Run. He said, that's where I'm going.
Amen. How about that?
So I followed him all the way to Mount Run Road. He turned to the right. I turned to the left. When I turned to the left, it was clear.
Amen.
So I thank God for that.
Amen.
Amen.
And last night I had a really bad sinus headache, and I didn't know if I was going to make it today, because I've never had one that bad. And I'm thankful for my husband that he was there, because he helped me out. He gave me a horse call, and that really helped. I thank God for him.
And amen.
Praises.
Yeah. That is the practical application of Christianity. You know, God is not just some faraway being. He is concerned, and we're going to talk about this in the next hour. I hope you get encouraged. We're going to talk about the love and the goodness and the greatness of our God. And that's an example. God cares about individuals. He chose Israel, and he chose us to be born again, be part of his body, his church. But he is not just about big groups. He's about individual people. He's concerned about it. Sometimes we think, oh, God doesn't care about my little problems. Oh, yes, he does. That's what one of the things that makes him a great God. All right, let's stand together. Thank you for sharing that, Anna Dale. That's encouraging. Our Father, we thank you, Lord, that we can call you Lord. We can call you Father. Thank you that you care about us. We are your children. You are our God, our Father. And Lord, you are a refuge and strength in times of trouble, in times of prosperity. We ask, Lord, that you would provide the physical needs for those who called out to you. We ask, Lord, you'd bless our little church, that you'd bring folk in, save some souls, and change some lives. Lord, I thank you for meeting Anna Dale's needs again, showing your greatness and showing your care. And I pray, Father, for those who are discouraged this morning, that through the power of your word and the power of your Holy Spirit, they would be encouraged and lifted up. I pray, Lord, you'd increase our faith as a result of being here and being in your word today. Thank you for loving us with an everlasting love. And thank you, Lord Jesus, soon you'll be coming back for us. And Lord, help us to be ready. And Lord, help us to spend time with you as we ought to. It's time in your word that we would grow to be more like our Savior. So bless the coming hour, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen.